This variety show is not meant to be listened to by anyone of any age at any point in time, ever again, at all time, ever, never should you listen to this podcast or this story or any of these places or times or things, and none of these things are real, and you should all just forget everything that you hear. If you have to listen to it, or if you listen to it at all, you shouldn't.
Don't listen to this.
Are y'all ready for the ragtag, handy-dandy bullshit show?
Yeah!
Well, all right then.
Welcome to the ragtag, handy-dandy bullshit show.
And so that's why it's very difficult for conspiracy emphasizing narratives not to end up having to have some end state a villain that is somehow human but not human, like a reptile or an alien or a member of a certain religious and ethnic group that has some sort of, so that has values that are not human values.
Welcome to the ragtag. Fuck. Welcome to the ragtag. Hold on. God damn it. Boy, I can fuck up an intro, can't I? Oh my god, if I could do a fucking intro today, I would love it.
I would love to be able to do a fucking intro today at some point.
Welcome to the ragtag handy dandy bullshit show. Thank you for joining us. Thank you to the folks who are listening to this. I appreciate you with all my heart. Y'all are great. Let me know what you think. You can reach me at ganjapress@gmail.com. At the end of this episode, I'll explain a little bit more about Ganja Press and what Ganja Press is. But for this episode, I want to talk about the metaverse. I want to talk about the new petty bourgeoisie technocrat class that is going to evolve from these NFT scams and these coins, and we're going to get into it. So let's go. On this playground, there are children. There are lots of children. I'm not there, of course. This is a BBC exterior atmosphere sound effect from the British Broadcasting Channel I just so happen to have. But I imagine there's children. I can hear them. There's a lot of them here. And these children, say they're in between the ages of 7 to 11. My daughter, she's going to be 10 soon. At some point in her late teens or adult life, I imagine she'll have access to a technology that allows her to interface with a completely virtual world, free from any physical activity. Sitting down, staring at a screen inches from your face, designed to, imagine for a moment, if smartphones, Candy Crush, Facebook, Instagram, Reddit, if they're all designed very efficiently to warp your sense of being, sense of worth, to give you small, mini little dopamine hits every few minutes. You cannot tell me that as a species, we will not be susceptible to the immersion of a totally and complete virtual world with all the trinkets and goodies you can ever imagine having. And to me, that's extremely frightening. That's very scary to me because what I feel to my core is that that is innately inhumane, that you're stripping the human body down to its very fundamental primitive characteristics of action because of the neurotransmitters in your brain receiving chemicals that are derived from the input of reality. And when the reality becomes not tactile, but yet you're still receiving the input of it being tactile, there's something inherently inhuman about that because we don't have that capability outside of this technology that is created from a system of commercialization and capitalism and exploitation. And if we don't stop that, if we do not reject it in total, then we will, and our children will, be inundated with false input and false ideas and false everything. They'll be controlled, and so will we, and so will our grandparents. Imagine us as millennials. I'm a millennial. Imagine me fiddling with the latest metaverse technology and my kids being like, ah, you fucking millennials, you just don't get it. And they're switching through different universes and exploring and experiencing. And we're using, you know, the that modern day equivalent of Facebook, which is essentially the whatever they create, but whatever they create, it's going to be a spectacle and it's going to be incredible. And don't believe the naysayers about the technology being infant and not being able to provide the stimulation that I'm referring to, because the governments of the world in total have just black holes of cash assets and people and buildings and all sorts of different things to concoct this type of technology. And the security state, as it were, and as it was created throughout the modern era, has been implemented into society in a very forward-facing, oh shit, they're just gonna do it anyway kind of way. Yeah, you're gonna carry a cell phone. It's gonna tell us exactly where you are at all times. Yeah, you're gonna take pictures with it and take videos of it, and you're gonna have records of all the things that you've done that we can have access to in a snap. And you're going to be subjected to the cameras across all of the major cities and even the smaller cities. You're going to be subjected to the security state whether you choose to be or not. But guess what? It's really great that you're just accepting of it, because we really think that that's the only way to implement a security state without it having any resistance, is for it to be participatory. You're participating in it with us. It's a mutual experience. So the next iteration, the next evolution of that is going to be the metaverse. It's going to be a situation where you're encapsulated not just by the entertainment, by the corporations, by the conglomerates, by the nefarious forces of all of the world will have access to you, but you'll also be inundated by the security state at your own will. These are pigs on the trough here, just enjoying some good old slop. That's kind of what I imagine we'll be like in the future, just kind of consumers. Pigs are the ultimate consumers, aren't they? They just take whatever you give them, and they don't complain about it, and then they make bacon, and everything's great. And so it's kind of the same thing with consumers, because what we do is we go to work, we take what we can get, and then we go to the stores and we produce the bacon. And we are then recycled, and we do it over and over and over and over and over again. And now the people who are responsible for making the decisions at large in our society have decided that there's a new evolution of this. We're going to create a system where you have access to entertainment 110% of the time, as long as you have a subscription fee, and you'll be able to do basically anything that you thought you couldn't do before. If you want to go tour the star systems of Orion, by all means, have at it. If you want to go play Street Fighter, as a Street Fighter, go do it. If you want to relive the World War II in color, go have fun. Go nuts. And that's kind of the idea behind the subduing of the American population in the major cities. But it goes deeper than that, because what we're seeing now is the evolution and the burgeoning of a new class in the world. And it is this technocratic, petty bourgeoisie, sort of predominantly white class of middle class people who have expendable assets to then produce these sort of transactions on the blockchain. And what I believe is happening is someone posts an NFT and then buys it with a different wallet, and that then valuates it. And then once it's valuated, it becomes a commodity, and then it becomes something that can be traded and then valuated further and then given more value and so on and so forth. And it is essentially the same format as any other artistic endeavor. If you have somebody who produces an album of music, they produce that, give it to the community, then the community either values it or does not value it. But the nature of the creation of value doesn't derive from pure sources. It's not authentic. What it is it's concocted and developed through unscrupulous means. And those unscrupulous means have consistently destroyed the American population. It has consistently caused immense disharmony and inequality across our entire society. And now we're at a point where it's going to come to a head, and we're going to be either in one situation or another. You'll have your technocratic bourgeoisie who will be creating content for the metaverse. You'll have even more influencers. You'll have artificial intelligent influencers. You'll have virtual landscapes and things that people will be able to create. But I'm going to tell you a truth, and that is, this is going to further divide the population of the middle class and the poor, because the poor don't have the resources to generate these types of items and these types of content. The poor don't have even the knowledge base of it. If you were to go to any city that has a predominantly poor population with low education rates and poverty unfettered, then you would see this continuum of people who don't know, understand, or have any awareness of what a blockchain is, or what Bitcoin is, or what Ethereum is, or what the, you know, any of it is. And these people aren't going to learn that. Some of these people don't even have access to a phone. Some people don't even have access to the ability to increase their knowledge through the use of things like Google or just the internet in general. And so there's going to be this massive cavernous divide between those who have and those who have not, once again. But at this time, it's going to be those who have technology and ability and awareness and those who don't. And we already see that happening. I mean, if you look at the amount of people who have increased their wealth due to the ability to trade assets and different stocks and things across the small mobile platforms, then they're able to involve themselves in a situation that they hadn't prior been able to, and that class of people hadn't prior been able to. And so the opening of that door then creates further division between those people who do have the information and knowledge to produce that and those who don't. And before, there was a smaller gap between those people because there was a gate between the ability to increase your wealth just by putting numbers into numbers. And now that gate has been opened to the lower half of the people who could have done it before, but they were stopped by that barrier. And so now we're going to see a situation where there's going to be even more of a class divide. You're going to see even more electric Hummers driving over top of carcasses of dead fucking victims of capitalism, and it's just going to be horrible.
Game over, man.
So our man Jack Dorsey has left Twitter. Officially, he is no longer the CEO. He no longer oversees that. He has decided that he is going to go all in on crypto. When whales like him make big moves like that, it makes me nervous because it is a huge tell for where the industries at large are going to go. And so this means that crypto is not going anywhere. He's going to go for the gold, man. And you just wait. It's going to be great. Don't think of it as leaving Twitter. Jack Dorsey's going all in on crypto. Bitcoin unleashed a huge wave, and Dorsey, no longer doing double duty at Twitter and Square, wants to ride it. There's still time for Square to expand its crypto footprint, though, which makes the timing of Dorsey's move significant. If I were not at Square or Twitter, I'd be working on Bitcoin, Dorsey said at a cryptocurrency conference in Miami in June. At the time, he said, both companies have a role to play. So I've thought about this idea of a cryptocracy, which if you Google it, it's been a word, and it was a book by an illustrator from Dark Horse Comics. But my definition of cryptocracy is just that it's a crypt. If you think about a crypt, I think about a crypt, it's a large cavernous structure or underground dwelling that houses the dead, that houses bodies of dead people, mummified or otherwise. And
you know, this is like probably one of the most depressing fucking things I've ever said, but I really feel like we're sliding into a crypt where, in a Matrix-esque way, we will be completely immobile. We will just exist in this state of constant immobility. We feel as though we're immobile right now. We just go for our little drives. Maybe we take a small vacation. We're suppressed by our lack of finances and means in our society because the unequal distribution of resources and assets and privilege. And if you think that in the light of this metaverse, NFT, Bitcoin, cryptocurrency, technocratic evolution of our current society, it doesn't seem to me that it's going to be different. It doesn't seem to me that it's going to get better. The natural trajectory, the people who choose to take this pathway aren't going to receive any relief from the already shitty conditions that they have. It's just going to be, it's literally just going to be a mask that you put over your situation. I mean, imagine the disruption, the feeling that you feel when your phone dies. And you're like, ah, shit, my phone died. Well, now I can't get, no one can get a hold of me, and I can't take pictures if I need to, and like, fuck. This whole thing is just, it just bothers me so much. Imagine being in your apartment. You haven't done anything for 12 days other than lay down and have this fucking mask over your face and these controllers in your hands, and maybe not even that, and all of a sudden the battery dies. Or all of a sudden it glitches out and you have to take your headset off, and all of a sudden you're met with your apartment littered with trash and just cluttered all over the place and dark and nasty. And you're like, God damn it. Oh my God, get me back. Get me back. Get me back to the metaverse. Get me back to the metaverse. I need to go back. I want to see the beach again. I want to see the deciduous forests of North America. I want to go back to the holodeck. Get me back. I can't handle this. I can't handle this reality. And that's what it boils down to, is I can't handle this reality.
Consumption. It's the new national pastime. Fuck baseball. It's consumption. The only true, lasting American value that's left, buying things. Buying things. People spending money they don't have on things they don't need. Money they don't have on things they don't need. So they can max out their credit cards and spend the rest of their lives paying 18% interest on something that costs $12.50. And they didn't like it when they got it home anyway. Not too bright, folks. Not too fucking bright. But if you talk to one of them about this, if you isolate one of them, you sit them down rationally, you talk to them about the low IQs and the dumb behavior and the bad decisions, right away they start talking about education. That's the big answer to everything. Education. They said, we need more money for education. We need more books, more teachers, more classrooms, more schools. We need more testing for the kids. You say to them, well, you know, we've tried all of that, and the kids still can't pass the test. So, don't you worry about that. We're going to lower the passing grades. And that's what they do in a lot of these schools now. They lower the passing grades so more kids can pass. More kids pass, the school looks good, everybody's happy, the IQ of the country slips another 2 or 3 points, and pretty soon all you'll need to get into college is a fucking pencil. Got a pencil? Get the fuck in there. It's physics. Then everyone wonders why 17 other countries graduate more scientists than we do. Education. Politicians know that word. They use it on you. Politicians have traditionally hidden behind three things. The flag, the Bible, and children. No child left behind. No child left behind. Oh, really? Well, it wasn't long ago you were talking about giving kids a head start. Head start? Left behind? Someone's losing fucking ground here. But there's a reason. There's a reason. There's a reason for this. There's a reason education sucks, and it's the same reason that it will never, ever, ever be fixed. It's never going to get any better. Don't look for it. Be happy with what you got. Because the owners of this country don't want that. I'm talking about the real owners now. The real owners, the big wealthy business interests that control things and make all the important decisions. Forget the politicians. The politicians are put there to give you the idea that you have freedom of choice. You don't. You have no choice. You have owners. They own you. They own everything. They own all the important land. They own and control the corporations. They've long since bought and paid for the Senate, the Congress, the state houses, the city halls. They got the judges in their back pockets. And they own all the big media companies, so they control just about all of the news and information you get to hear. They got you by the balls. They spend billions of dollars every year lobbying to get what they want. Well, we know what they want. They want more for themselves and less for everybody else. But I'll tell you what they don't want. They don't want a population of citizens capable of critical thinking. They don't want well-informed, well-educated people capable of critical thinking. They're not interested in that. That doesn't help them. That's against their interest. That's right. They don't want people who are smart enough to sit around the kitchen table and figure out how badly they're getting fucked by a system that threw them overboard 30 fucking years ago. They don't want that. You know what they want? They want obedient workers. Obedient workers. People who are just smart enough to run the machines and do the paperwork and just dumb enough to passively accept all these increasingly shittier jobs with the lower pay, the longer hours, the reduced benefits, the end of overtime, and the vanishing pension that disappears the minute you go to collect it. And now they're coming for your Social Security money. They want your fucking retirement money. They want it back so they can give it to their criminal friends on Wall Street. And you know something? They'll get it. They'll get it all from you sooner or later because they own this fucking place. It's a big club, and you ain't in it. You and I are not in the big club. By the way, it's the same big club they use to beat you over the head with all day long when they tell you what to believe. All day long, beating you over the head in their media, telling you what to believe, what to think, and what to buy. The table is tilted, folks. The game is rigged. And nobody seems to notice. Nobody seems to care. Good, honest, hardworking people, white collar, blue collar, doesn't matter what color shirt you have on. Good, honest, hardworking people continue. These are people of modest means. Continue to elect these rich cocksuckers who don't give a fuck about them. They don't give a fuck about you. They don't give a fuck about you. They don't care about you at all. At all. At all. And nobody seems to notice, nobody seems to care. That's what the owners count on, the fact that Americans will probably remain willfully ignorant of the big red, white, and blue dick that's being jammed up their assholes every day. Because the owners of this country know the truth. It's called the American dream, because you have to be asleep to believe it. It's called the American dream, because you have to be asleep to believe it, to believe it, to believe it.
Thanks for joining us on the Ragtag Handy Dandy Bullshit Show today. This is one part of the Metaverse series. We'll continually talk about the NFT scams, the continuing culture divide, the continuing poverty, the continuing all the negative shit. But you know what, man? Ganja Press is something I want to talk about right now. Ganja Press is an arts collective devoted to creating physical art. Art in spaces that are public and available. I've been very inspired by the murals, the fantastic murals in my city, and just how they brighten up Flint in general. And I'm just so proud that they've taken hold of their environment and really taken ownership and brought art into the physical space. And I want to take Ganja Press and use it to organize and collectivize a group, a wide swath of people who reach out into their communities and build public art, just in general, just anything. Doesn't matter what it is. We need to eradicate the gray, the glass, the concrete, the nasty infrastructure and city planning that is supposed to be functional, but it's depressing and it's oppressive. And I think Ganja Press at its core is an organization that seeks to create movements of artwork in the public space and in the physical space more than anything else. The physical realm is where we want to create artwork. And of course, using the digital realm as a medium to promote those activities is crucial. And so that's what this podcast is about, the Ragtag Handy Dandy Bullshit Show. And I want everybody to just take a deep breath. I'm sorry we got a little black pill there. I'm sorry we got a little dark. But I think it's very important to slip into those moments to really see what is going to happen if we don't stop, if we don't take a deep breath and put the technology down. We're gonna be in a situation where we won't be able to put the technology down. And we've seen it for decades. That was an old clip of George Carlin from back when I was a kid. And God bless and rest in peace to that man. So I just wanna highlight and end this episode with a great big thank you to all the people who have taken the time to listen and are entertained by my crazy bullshit, and I appreciate you. And coming forward, I'm going to be doing a more focused series called The Motions of the Movements, and I'm going to be focusing on more positive solutions and the people who have executed direct actions that have moved the needle forward.
Come together.